Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And that last show, cost versus value report, that was a lot of fun.
It was so good. We're going to talk a little bit more about it.
You got it. We're going to talk about some of that outdoor stuff here just for kind of this next segment. And then we're going to go out to my buddy Greg with Cascade Tree Service, because I wanted to talk about trees and what you can do as a homeowner to kind of eyeball that stuff. You know, what can you do to get that to be, you know, you get a professional out there, an arborist, for instance. They come out, they look at it, they can see what they see for that day, right? But you get to see the seasons. You get to see how that tree reacts.
Yep.
You get to say, wow, that tree doesn't look healthy when it drops half the leaves first versus, you know.
When it's
these are things that you want to, you just want to be eyeballing. So we're going to talk about that here coming up. But first off, let's talk about some of this bookkeeping, get that out of the way. If you want to get a hold of us, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. That is the website.
Absolutely. You can give us a call here in the studio. Our number 971-233-8992. But that's not the only thing at the website. That's the home base for the podcast. You can also go to the Contact Us page. If you're shy and don't want to be on the radio, you can send us an email. We'll be sure to answer your question here on air. We also have our store available where you might be able to pick up a new Around the House coffee mug or a t-shirt.
Man, this time of year, you might need that stocking cap.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely for this time of year. Well, we've been talking, you know, Remodeling's Magazine's Home Versus Value Report, which is the cost versus value report. This is talking about your house. And we just covered kind of a lot of things inside, but I wanted to talk about
the outside.
Yeah, let's dive into a few of those things here real quick, because that's an important one. And one of the big debates always is, okay, I'm going to do a deck addition.
That'll add a bunch of value.
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of does help with the COVID stuff. Having a deck out there, I'll tell you that. It is added
some living space. You have a nice outdoor living space, that's nice.
It is. Now, the debate always is do I do composite or do I do wood? And that's an interesting discussion, because if you look at the composite numbers, and I'm not going to get into all the square footage and details. You can find that over at costversusvalue.com, but these are the same sizes of what that is. Now, if you look at this here on the national average, composite deck is almost 20 grand.
Yep, just under 20 grand.
Yep. And you get a little over 13 grand back at a 66.8 for composite.
For wood. Two-thirds your money back.
Yeah. Wood, it's only 14,000. With a $10,000 resale value, it's 72.1%. But let's be honest.
I was about to say, I know that you are biased.
I am, because I hate having every 2 years living in Portland having to refinish my deck.
Yep. You had to do it at your last house.
Hate it.
Yep.
Absolutely hate it. Go through, refinish it, get two seasons out of it. It's looking like
trash.
Junk again. Got to do it all over again. And I have tried virtually every finish out there for a deck stain. And in our weather where it's uncovered, that uncovered portion, I'm out there doing it every 2 years.
It's beat up.
And I'm tired of it. And I'm now, yes, I could be putting in some, you know, crazy hardwood out there and staining it and getting more life out of it, you know, going teak or something like that. That's not in these costs.
That's going to be a lot more expensive than 13 or well, actually, yeah, wood, $13,000. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I'll pay a little more and get the nicer than what's on here.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as a composite, you know, because I did that moisture shield decking that has the reflective heat technology. So it, when you walk on it, it's cool like wood. It's not
even
hot
on a
like
hot day where it's getting beat up.
Yep, it reflects that heat. So it's really good that way. So it's interesting. So you look at that national average, right? And then you go over here to Portland, like we've done on the last hour. If you look at where we're at here locally for us, and for that, you know, it's not too crazy, really.
No, it's a little bit more expensive to get the job done, but it's right on par.
Except when it comes to the addition part.
Yeah.
You get more money back here in Portland.
Percentage-wise,
yeah. It's, you know, it's composite deck, you get 80% back. You get 86% on the wood one. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. And then if you go over to Chicago...
This is more of the looks like the national average.
You know, Chicago does stay in with that national average, so you're really close to that.
But Allentown is like Portland, where you're getting 79 to 84% back.
Yeah, that's an important one. Yeah. So pay attention, like we always have said with this kind of stuff, when you're dealing with cost versus value, if you're going to have that enjoyment, if you have a smaller house and you need to create an outdoor living space, man, dive into this because this is one of those things that you create such an amazing space out there. You've created another room for your house. And if you've got decent weather where you're at and you've got a heater and you've got a closed-in space maybe, whew.
Nice.
You got a quiet place to have a Zoom meeting.
Well, and it's also just based on what you said. Like, just for example, with the way technology is, where you can have those composite deckings that are always nice and cool under the touch, mm-hmm. I'm willing to spend that extra $5,000 to have something I don't have to upkeep every 2 years and is an enjoyable place year-round to be.
What's your time worth? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend a weekend every
2 years
every
taking
2 years
care of that. I'll spend $5,000 out, $5,000 more off the bat and just not have to worry
about it. Just not have to mess with it. You get, you know, plenty of years out of it. And like everything else, that technology every year keeps getting better and better. It's not like the Trex from 20 years ago
mm-hmm.
where it wasn't capped. It didn't last as long. You know, like everything, there's that first one that comes out and then everybody tweaks it. It was the best thing in its time. They just came out with a lot
just
better
improves.
Things beyond that. Now, another one that's interesting too here is, and I want to talk about this from a different perspective here. Not so much on the cost versus value. Down at the bottom of the page, we've got roofing replacement.
Yep.
I want to talk about kind of what they call the average roof. This gets a lot of people in trouble. They don't realize what it costs to put a roof on a house. The average roof out there for a 30-year asphalt shingle, $24,700. I know that's a big number for people.
That is a heavy chunk of change.
You know, and then when you look across in our cities and stuff that we're talking about, Chicago's the most expensive.
Yeah,
that same roof on average is $30,000.
Yeah, another $5,000 just to do the same roof.
Yep. So really, everybody else is kind of on par within a couple grand.
Yep.
But that's where that goes into. Now, metal roofing, which is great in our mountain communities and some of that other stuff, it's a little bit more money. That average is $40,000.
$16,000 more than the asphalt shingle.
But you get, on average, pretty close in those markets to the same thing back. You know, you get that back. Allentown probably has the least.
No, Chicago.
Chicago does. Oh, you're right.
54.4%. You spend $48,000 to do the job, get $26,000 back.
Chicago does not like metal roofs.
No, but Portland seems to. Actually,
absolutely.
Both roofing is both the roofs in Portland, both asphalt shingle and metal, are over 70%.
Yeah, when I go do my roof here, I will be looking between two different. I'll be looking between either putting asphalt shingles back up on it in the next couple of years or doing metal. And with all my trees and stuff around here,
metal
I have a strong argument for metal for keeping it clean.
Keep it clean and then last longer.
I'm on my garage roof, blowing needles off of it. Every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep. Got to keep those gutters clean.
Got to keep them clean. And there's no other way to doing this. I have to do the driveway, everything, because all of these things, and that's where that metal roof would become really cool because light little breeze blows it off.
Beneficial for you as the homeowner.
Makes it a lot easier. And
that's
And I'm not paying somebody to get on my roof to keep cleaning at this point. Now, when I'm 70, you're darn right, I'll have somebody up there. And now, wait a minute.
You want to start talking about age. That is now only 20 years away because Eric is now 50.
I opened up that can of worms, didn't I?
Yeah, I told you during the break, too. I'm like, I haven't brought it up all show.
I know it, dude. I just... What was that noise? That was me opening that door wide,
cracking open that can of worms.
Okay. Last week was my 50th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. It was fun. So
old enough to be my dad.
Dude. Yeah. And I have friends that have, that I graduated high school with that have kids older than you.
Yep.
So, yep. I know this. Thanks, son.
Yeah. We work well together, though. Absolutely. Thankfully.
Absolutely. Oh, one little thing I did get, and this is kind of cool, and I want everybody else to take a look at this, and Julie got this for me for my birthday. It's the Hovel pencil plane.
This thing's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's a little brass, comes out of England, and it's dumb. I wanted it for my birthday. It's expensive, but it's super cool. You can sit there and just basically plane your pencil down. I'm totally geeking, geeking out.
It looks about the size of a belt buckle.
Yep. Not a Texas belt buckle. Just it's smaller than that.
Yep.
And you just do that. So anyway, kind of a cool little thing.
Check it out on the Facebook. Yeah, on the Facebook.
I'll have it up on Facebook here. I got to geek out on that. I'll do a little video for it up here pretty soon. So, all right, everybody, we got to go. Let's talk to Greg from Cascade Tree Service. We'll be right back after these important messages. You can buy me a drink. I can get you a Jennifer Lopez. Hard water. About 85% of American households have it. It does damage to your plumbing system, tears up your water heater or coffee maker. If you want a water softener without using the heavy bags of salt that everyone dislikes dealing with, check out Natural Soft. It uses a catalytic process instead of salt to control that hard water. When you mix that with Natural Soft's water filtration system, you now have a system to take care of it all. For a clean water you can depend on from Natural Soft, head to solosalescompany.com. Check the show notes for the link and make sure and tell them Eric G sent you.
What's up? This is Stig.
And Satchel from Steel Panther. And you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. We've got a special guest here on the line, Greg Richardson from Cascade Tree Works. Welcome to Around the House, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Man, we had a great time when we were out there looking at your project here. Jeez, what was it, last month, I think, or a month and a half ago, when you were doing that charity work. Yeah.
Yep.
That was a good time.
About a month ago.
Yeah, so... What really grabbed me was that you gave me kind of a walk around the property around there, and we started talking about some of the things that homeowners should just be kind of taking a look at to make sure that they've got their trees in great condition. And you're the guy that I lean on here when it comes to, you know, good tree care. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because, man, you gave some great tips just kind of walking around, looking at the trees, and what do we have to look at when we're walking around, quite frankly, looking up from the ground.
Yeah. One of the things we're passionate about is just helping people be a good steward of their land and their trees. And it really takes someone who's has a relationship with their trees, who's with them pretty regularly to see some differences that even a skilled arborist may not notice from a brief site visit. There's some things that may change from year to year, and we want people to be aware of what they need to be looking out for so that they can take good care of their trees.
Absolutely, man. And some of those things, you're right. You get out there, you're doing just a quick look over as best you can. But, you know, my trees do different things during parts of the year that, you know, in the springtime and in the fall, that I'm like, huh, you need to keep an eye on that, which just walking on, taking a peek at it, you might not catch.
Exactly. And since trees don't talk, we got to look for subtle changes that they may be able to show what's going on with them. throughout the year. So, you know, when you're in mid-summertime, you're looking for vigor. You're looking for a change in vigor. And vigor is just healthy, full blast, growing. A lot of times when you're looking for lack of vigor, you'll be looking at the top half of the tree. That's a pretty good indicator of what the root health is like.
Okay.
That area of the tree is the furthest away from the root. So if there's a problem in the root zone, it usually shows there first in most cases.
Okay. That's a good one. Any
kind of dead branches, stuff dying back, especially drastic changes from year to year. So you see something's different one year from the next, that's going to be a strong indicator. You're going to want to document that with some photos and then regularly be speaking with a expert, an arborist.
Yeah, like, you know, I've got a mixture of, you know, your typical Northwest. I mean, we've got people listening across the country, but here on my property, I've got a mixture of fir trees and some maple and a little bit of oak, you know, kind of all mixed in. And I've got a maple tree where, you know, probably the one third, like a third of the size, I've got an area there that a couple dead branches, you know, we just moved in here just a year ago this week, but I've noticed that I got an area that's dying off on the tree. That's also a bad sign, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anything looking necrotic or irregular, and sometimes it may not even be anything serious. It could be wind blown. It could be a few different things that could also maybe give the illusion sometimes. But when you see that, that's an indicator for you to let your arborist know what's going on.
All right. So we're looking up at the top of the tree. If we see something in that top third up there starting to look sideways or something, that's another good warning sign to get in. What else do you recommend for people to do while you're walking around looking at these trees?
Yeah. So I'll finish up on that really quick. But you're also looking for lack of color, lack of leaf size if it's a deciduous tree. So if the leaves are significantly smaller than years past, the color. A few other things you're going to look for. You know, I always like to keep the base, where the base of the tree meets the ground, kind of cleared up. That's a very sensitive area of any tree. So that should be part of an annual inspection as far as just going through and clearing back the organic material, seeing if there's any part of the bark that's missing near the base of the tree there. Like I said before, anything that looks irregular, you know, it doesn't always take an arborist for most of that stuff. Just a little bit of investigation and effort goes a long ways.
You know, I've seen a lot of DIY landscaping mistakes where people come in, they're moving dirt around, and all of a sudden they're piling a fair amount of dirt and material up against the base of a big tree. What kind of problems can we see that cause? Because I've seen some disasters happen from that very action.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, Eric. That backfilling a tree's base or burying a tree past its root flare, that's always a risky situation. And even though, say, you buy a new property and you move in and you notice that the tree doesn't have much flare where it meets the ground, it may have been backfilled previously. So that's another thing you want to have an arborist come out and take a look at for you.
Yeah, because that'll just basically start a rot going there, won't it? And now you've got it rotting off right at the ground.
Exactly. That's a simple way to put it. Absolutely.
So, and then you were talking about, you know, one of the things you were talking about is just poking around down there and making sure that base is in good shape. Is that also something that's very recommended?
Sure. So as you're clearing the dirt away that may or may not be there, the organic material that may be built up, you know, you can gently poke or probe and see how the bark is looking right there at the base of the ground. You might find yourself something that turns into a big old cavity, and the tree could have decay working its way in with not much indications on the outside, especially if the indications that would be out there are covered up by debris or dirt.
Yeah, that's a big ticket right there, because, man, that's where that windstorm comes in, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize that, wow, we got a big heck of a problem right there, because that tree busts off at ground level, and then you got a big problem. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm also a qualified tree risk assessor, and so a lot of that risk can be mitigated with proper care and pruning. So a tree that may be somewhat high risk due to a defect down below, sometimes that's manageable.
More Talking Trees with Greg from Cascade Tree Works just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G. Raise your
fist! Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, hit us up on our website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. That's where you can find the Contact Us page, what stations we're on, where all this different information. You can see some of my videos as well as find the phone number to call us. And that's 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992. Now, let's get back to Cascade Tree Works. My buddy Greg, we're going to talk a little bit more about trees with him. And at the end of the show here, we've got some important announcements as well. So we'll be back with you in just a moment. Now, let's get back to talking with Greg about trees.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm also a qualified tree risk assessor. And so a lot of that risk can be mitigated with proper care and pruning. So a tree that may be somewhat high risk due to a defect down below, sometimes that's manageable, you know, and you could prevent a catastrophic failure by a little bit of maintenance. Just like anything, it goes a lot better, a lot longer with a little maintenance, just like your car or even your relationships.
That's cost me a lot more than I wish I had insurance for that. But seriously, yeah, I mean, that's right, you know. And for instance, you know, I've seen, you know, we all see on the news, you know, windstorm comes to an area, and you see these big old root balls where maybe it tore up the sidewalk, it tore up the, you know, it looks like half the front yard is tilted up at a 45 or 90 degree angle as the tree just absolutely blew over. Is that just because of poor water management, or what's your take on that?
It can be, you know, we can have a lot of steady rain here in the Northwest, and sometimes it can be even more so. So it could just be flat out soil saturation followed up by a windstorm, a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's usually when you see a massive root ball. A lot of times that's the case. It's when you start seeing a smaller root ball sticking up that you know that the tree had problems. And I believe about 75% of those failures were preventable by having an arborist come by regularly and doing some of the things that we're talking about.
Man, it's just like your heating and cooling system or everything else out there. You got to have that maintenance done and have a professional take a look at stuff. And that way, you know, you're in good shape.
You got to. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Now, you were talking about one of the other things that, and I've seen this before, and you know the names, and I don't, because you're the expert at this, but there's that little, it almost looks like a little shelf growing out the side of a tree. What is
right,
that?
Right, so we had talked about that briefly at my place, but that's one of the things you'll be looking for during your annual inspection. If anybody wants to reach out to Cascade Tree Works, we'd be happy to give you a whole list of stuff. We even come out and do some treatment plans and site evaluations at no cost to the customer. Like I said, when we started, we're really passionate about helping people be in the know. And so one of the things you're going to be looking for to your question, Eric, was as we're clearing out near the base annually, we're also going to be inspecting for conchs. It's a fungal fruiting body. It's a tree mushroom. So it's a lot harder than a mushroom from the grocery store, but it's specific fungi that attacks the tree. And that can, that's obviously one of the things that we're looking for when we do a basal inspection annually.
You know, I went around my house. I didn't see any amount of my house, but I was over at somebody else's and I was walking past their neighbor's house and I'm like, ah, there it is. Got it. You know, you can, yeah. It just looks like almost a little, you know, coned shelf kind of up there on the side of the tree. And it's very inconspicuous. It doesn't really stick out like it's a mushroom growing out of the side of the tree. But once you see that little shelf, you can see, you know, it's very clear what it is. And that right. shows that you've got an unhealthy tree condition right there.
Right, absolutely. And there's a lot of different species of this fungi. So one of the things that we do is we'd want to get someone knowing which type of tree they have, and then we can research which types of fungi they're looking for. So they can actually look at images online of specifically what they're looking for with their tree type each year.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, you know, there's so many things with trees out there, and you know, and you guys do a great job. I mean, One thing I do want to say thank you to is you guys give so much back to the community, like almost no other business I've ever worked with. And I just got to say thanks for your guys' big heart in helping out people around you, because every time I turn around, you guys have something else going on, man.
We're happy to be there for the community. It's a hard time right now in 2020, especially. And we, you know, when we see people struggling, we try to partner with them and do the best that we can to come alongside them. And our customers get the opportunity to do the same as well in that with us.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting out there too. Like, one thing I tell people before they go tackling any of their tree projects is make sure that they know what the local laws are. Like, I live here in a community in Lake Oswego, Oregon here, where every tree is highly protected. And
right.
The last thing you want to do is go in and take some trees down that are maybe in a green space or something like that, that your local community is protecting. Because, man, that can be an expensive ticket item. And we see that with people going rogue and taking down trees in green areas to make their view a little bit better. And then somebody's on them for cutting down stuff they shouldn't be.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those situations where it's better to ask permission first. You know, not every situation calls for that, but when it comes to your tree removal, absolutely. And there's quite a few places that you want to check. You have all the way down to a local HOA, mm-hmm. up to your county rules and regulations. You may have some from the city, and you may even have some by the neighborhood that you're in, or your property specifically during its development may have some trees to be retained. So there's quite a few places to look. We're more than happy to help anybody along that wants to know that type of information on their trees. They can give us a call and we'll give them a list.
Yeah, like in my community here, there's as you know, because you used to work down in this area a fair amount, there's a fairly lengthy process to get through to get tree removal and even down to some heavy trimming. You got some paperwork to do.
Yeah, well, it needs to be that way. You know, we live in one of the only rainforests of the world, and it's a beautiful place to be. And you know, these rules are a pain for all of us, but it's for the greater good. Absolutely.
Oh, man, I love living in the forest that I have here, and I'm still in an urban area. But I've got tree canopy over the house, and when other people are out there just absolutely baking, my house is 15 degrees cooler, which I do like. Of course, it's a lot more work because they're fir trees. So I got, you know, tons of needles and I'm battling 24/7. But
sure,
man,
well, pick your battle. It's either a leaf blower or for the needles, or it's on your knees pulling weeds.
Exactly. And with this land here, it's much easier to get that leaf blower out and tackle it because it's an easy fix, man, and it's good. And you guys really, you know, as far as you guys do a whole bunch of different stuff, being, you know, you've got a, you know, ISA certified arborist on hand, on staff there. So you're pretty well set for really helping people take care of their trees and making sure that, well, they're just healthy and they're living a good life.
Oh, absolutely. We have 3 ISA certified arborists and we have 2 ISA qualified tree risk assessors. And we're always doing continuing education and getting new tags and things like that. And we really want to be in the business and knowing about trees.
Do you guys help out? You know, sometimes you'll get these neighborhood disputes, you know, where there's this big tree and one neighbor's worried about it falling over on their house. Is that where some of that risk assessment stuff really takes place, where somebody can lean over on your risk assessors and go, okay, what is the condition of this tree? Is it something that we need to be concerned about?
Well, when it comes to disputes, we really point somebody in the right direction. We are also a service business, and primarily, I mean, we're qualified to handle those sort of things, but since it's not in our most common practice, and it's such a sensitive thing that needs to be done a certain way, we like to send it over to the people who do that sort of thing every day. There's lots of different types of arborists, so that's a little different than our main thing.
Gotcha. Your main thing is just going and making sure everything's healthy and the stuff that's not, either getting it taken back or down, depending on how bad a shape it's in.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can help folks deal with the municipalities. We can write letters and different things to help people get things going. But we usually, when it's private party against a private party. That's where we send them to someone who just does that.
You don't want to be in the middle of the mud fight? Come on, man.
I do not.
I don't blame you, man, because, it's just like dealing with HOAs. You know, some of that other stuff can be a rough battle, and that's why what I was saying before was, you know, make sure you get all this stuff covered, because I have seen some battle royales that look like an MMA fight just between people and their HOAs because they just went out and did something dumb.
Yeah. That unfortunately you see a little bit of that, you know.
But oh yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things too that, you know, I think that's important is, you know, you see people out there that are trying to landscape, and I see them trying to work around maybe somebody before them, you know, removing those stumps and getting that stuff out of there. You guys also do stump removal too, correct?
Right. We do stump removal. Absolutely. And we can do that without impacting the adjacent landscape. It's usually better to have it done before.
Of course.
We put that stuff in. But if that didn't happen, that's okay. You know, we have precautions that we take in order to help ensure that.
We'll be right back to wrap up that conversation with Greg from Cascade Tree Works. Now, make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. You can catch the podcast over at our website or anywhere you catch podcasts, and that's aroundthehouseonline.com. Now, we'll be right back with Greg to wrap up that conversation and so much more just as soon as Around the House returns. Improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if you want to be part of the show, hit us up on social media, Around the House with Eric G. Really easy to find us on Facebook. That is where we put a lot of our stuff. But if you want to be part of the show and you have a question, give us a call 24/7, 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992. Now, let's get back to my interview with Cascade Tree Works and Greg. Also do stump removal too, correct?
Right. We do stump removal. Absolutely. And we can do that without impacting the adjacent landscape. It's usually better to have it done before.
Of course.
We put that stuff in. But if that didn't happen, that's okay. You know, we have precautions that we take in order to help ensure that. But I will tell you, it's always good to have a certified arborist around for the planning portion. Mm-hmm. Most of our work is folks didn't really have a tree expert even when they put their landscaping in. And in addition to a landscape architect, you know, that's always a really good idea because we really know what the trees are going to do long term. And other professionals, even nurseries, they're going off of books that were written possibly in another part of the country.
Absolutely.
So it's important to talk to a local expert for all aspects of your planning as it relates to your trees. And this could even be the way the water flows, root zones that may be impacted. For putting in new hardscapes and all sorts of stuff. Most certified arborists will do a in-person consult at no charge.
Nice. Well, like you and I were talking about, for instance, I've got a slope driveway, you know, the if I look out, it's probably 10 feet up to the road out in front of my house. I'm kind of down a little bit. And as it goes down, mm-hmm. I go through the trees and I've got this massive, you know, old fir tree that I couldn't wrap my arms even halfway around. But of course, the roots are now pushing up my driveway that's been here since 77. And, you know, I've got it feels like I'm going through the moguls in the driveway. There's mm-hmm. things you can do about that without just, you know, the last thing you want to do as a homeowner is go in there and say, you know, I'm putting a new driveway and get the saws all out. Just start randomly cutting roots off that side so they don't come back mm-hmm. and put in a new driveway. This is where you need to bring mm-hmm. in the experts to figure it out. And you
Absolutely.
Guys even have some answers for that kind of thing.
We do. And you know, when it comes to trees, this is one of those things where there's not really a book answer. Every situation's different. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where someone could easily know enough to get themselves into trouble. And root pruning, and we've saved a lot of driveways. Now, we can't always,
sure,
you know, we make sure that the safety and integrity of the tree is not going to be compromised, but we know right where that line is. So absolutely reach out to a certified arborist before you go cutting any roots.
Exactly. Mine's a tough situation. And you and I talked a little bit about this before, but you know, I've got the driveway coming on one side. So, you know, really 3/4 of the perimeter of that tree is pavement. And it's never a good thing with a tree that big, because no matter what, you are going to have some movement with the material around there just as that tree's growing.
Right.
So that's going to be my next battle one of these days here. Once I get this interior sure. done, I'll have you over and we'll shoot some video and talk about that so people can be, because I want to preserve these as best I can, which, you know, is the number one goal. But at the same point, if I've got that tree in a situation where, you know, it's not going to survive long term because of something they did, or it's going to get to be an unhealthy situation or dangerous for my neighbors or me, that's when we want to start dealing with it.
Sure. So, you know, we may do a combination of things. In the past, we have taken sections of the asphalt out and just had gravel in a certain location where mm-hmm. we couldn't cut. And then in addition to do some root pruning and bio barriers that prevent the roots from regrowing into those areas. But it's every, like I said before, every situation is so specific. We'd have to come out and take a look for you. We'd be happy to do that.
Oh, I know that. And well, when I get ready to tackle that project, we'll do that. And we'll show some video up for everybody else out there. Well, Greg, one thing that I love that you guys are doing right now too, and we're not going to talk too much about this, but because we have more people than, you know, outside of the area here than we do in Portland, but you guys are doing a diaper drive here in Portland as well for a lot of mothers out there. And I just want to say thank you again for that. You guys are doing that right now on our sister station. And that is super cool with that. And the details I'll have up on the website here so people can get over to that. But again, man, just thanks for helping out again on our community. And if somebody in Portland needs in this metro area here, because you guys work mostly in the Vancouver Battleground Camas, you know, Brush Prairie area out there. But man, you guys are the one-stop shop for this.
Absolutely. And we're more than happy to help a single mom, struggling single moms. Diapers is a big expense for them. And it's one of the hardest things to have to come up with regularly. And we're happy to help out a little bit with that.
Greg, thanks for coming on the show today, brother. We'll do this again. And once we get a little closer into spring here, we'll have some fun with this and we'll shoot some more video. And you guys out there can see a lot more about how to care for those trees.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Have a good day, bud.
Thanks, man. If you live in the Portland area, make sure and head over to CascadeTreeWorksWA.com. That's CascadeTreeWorksWA.com. They're great sponsors of the show here in Portland, Dane, and love having those guys on.
Absolutely. Good friends of the show.
Absolutely. Now, if you are wanting to donate to their diaper drive that they're doing, the only information I have, it's over on thefishportland.com. That's the other station in our cluster over here, thefishportland.com, and you can donate diapers over there if you're in the Portland area, because they're loading up single moms with diapers out there for the, you know, with COVID and everything else. It's a great idea.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Anything that you can do to help any of our listeners, we'd love to at least show some support for, you know, those in need.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, what a great show today.
Absolutely.
Good cost versus value. Greg from those, you know, Cascade Tree Works. A good time. And man, we're going to have some big shows coming up ahead. I've got some big stuff January. I don't even know how I'm going to get it all done. I'm stressing a little bit on that because I've got a big event coming up here towards the end of the month where I'm recording all of these different things for the National Association of Home Builders. I'm doing like 10 seminars on home tech. So we're going to even have some new products out there too coming up.
Awesome, man.
And I think I'm going to do the virtual consumer electronics show as well. So I'll be bringing us some new stuff as well for all of those kind of new stuff that's going to be on the virtual side. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm very curious to see how that goes. So that'll be coming up here in a few weeks, actually. So a lot of new products coming out, and smart home stuff's kind of hot.
Yeah, you've been keeping your finger on the pulse of all of that smart tech, so it's kind of cool to be able to at least still show that off.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the time we got for this week. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.